Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/auwishbone. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And by our new sponsor, Ken Ringer's Book Tour for Lorindo.
Promptly at 2 o'clock, you can set your watch. A Wimbledon Center Court tradition on this last day of the fortnight. Escort Peter Morgan of the All England Club leads the men's championship finalist.
Butch Jones. And Gus Malzahn.
Out to fame center court. An All-American final, a repeat of a matchup here.
12
years ago, won by
Auburn. Malzahn
has 68 match wins here at Wimbledon, an all-time men's singles record against the 25-year-old
Jones.
Trying to become the first American since Don Budge 46 years ago to win back-to-back Wimbledon titles. The gentlemen final coming up live from center court on NBC Sports.
From center court at the All England Lawn Tennis and College Football Club at Wimbledon, it's the AU Wishbone SEC Barbecue Special, Part 1, the SEC East. Now, here are your hosts, Dan Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Strawberries and cream with Dick Enberg and Bud Collins on center court at Wimbledon? No way! It's pulled pork and smoked chicken with Van and John, the AU Wishbone. Welcome to our annual two-part SEC barbecue preview. This week, it's the SEC East. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, it is time once again. It's what we are known for. It's what our reputation is built upon. It is our wild and wacky SEC barbecue preview. And this week, it's the SEC East. And I'm very excited to finally be in the middle, kind of heading toward the last stretches of summer. Football's on the horizon. And you know football's on the horizon because you and I are eating the barbecue. Isn't that right?
That's right. We can taste it, and we can taste what's coming for the SEC football teams by tasting the barbecue.
Tasting the barbecue. And John, since this is the SEC East, I didn't really go out of my way today. We actually had pasta for dinner, and I really did. My wife is like, do you want to go like get some barbecue now? I'm like, no, I don't think I can eat any barbecue. So instead, I have a fresh, unopened, I'm opening it now, cylinder, canister of Pringles barbecue chips. Smell that artificial barbecue seasoning. Can you smell it through the microphone? I'll shake it for you. There it is. There it is. So I'm doing Pringles barbecue.
We may have to just stop right here. Just stop the podcast. Shut it down.
It's the East.
Turn the lights off.
Hey, for next week, I'm going to have Hicks Prime pulled pork. You know how we roll. We'd get some Hicks with some maybe some 17th Street sauce and maybe some Corky sauce. Oh, it's going to be sweet. But for now, the Pringles works just fine for the Motley collection over on the east side. So I also got to crack open my – this week we're going with the Minute Maid Fruit Punch. Oh, all over the monitor. Dang, that's unfortunate. Giggle. There we go. Man, I tell you, once I start drinking fruit punch, it's over. I can just drink can after bottle of it. It's crazy. That's got to get colder to wash down the barbecue chips. All right. So are we ready to go, I guess? By the way, folks, two things. As John pointed out, what we do, in case you're coming to this for the first time, you can go back and listen to last year's just for entertainment's sake. Last year's themes were game – no. Last year's themes were – I may have to edit that out. It's a spoiler. Last year's themes were The Iron Chef and Masterpiece Theater. and I just pick a different sort of TV or movie property or some other kind of pop culture thing and make our intro out of it every time. Now, what we do is we taste of our barbecue, and it provides us with special insight and powers to be able to tell what the record will be of each team we're looking at. So this week we're going to go through the seven teams in the SEC West, talk a little bit about them, analyze them, break them down, and then the barbecue will provide the answer as to what their record will be by the end of the season. So we're going to get on into that in just a second. But first, a little Auburn news and so forth. John, you asked me the question. I'll ask it back to you. How are you feeling at this point? What are your thoughts right now as an Auburn fan as SEC media days are over, which we'll talk about in just a second, and we're heading toward fall practice?
Well, we're in that, you know, the doldrums of summer, but winding down, and, you know, the preview magazines are out. We've had SEC media days. The football is on the distant horizon. So we're starting to get a little bit of excitement, and it's that time of year for, you know, for fans to be enthusiastic about their team. You don't have to be a realist at this point. You can have a little hope in your heart. So I feel pretty good. I think the Auburn defense is going to be pretty good. And I was talking to another Auburn fan today. We were talking about the team. And, I think we're going to do some good things.
Yeah. No, it's one of those. It's funny. This story was inevitable. There was a story that said, has Auburn's low expectations turned to high expectations or something to that effect? And I just laughed because I thought it's always the years that we have low expectations that we should start having the high expectations, right? Because that's the years we do better.
It's true.
And some sports writer finally figured that out and actually made a story out of it, which wasn't much of a story, but it is a good point, which is honestly, you know, last year went the way it did, but I honestly do feel, I feel like this year could be better than a lot of people think. I mean, I know they look at the quarterback, but did you see Brandon Marcello's article where he basically argued that history shows it's not the quarterback as much as the running back that determines how Auburn's offense goes and how fast they go?
I thought that was good, and I think I think we have a big upgrade at running back this year, so.
You know, I'm more and more thinking that we're going to lean more, especially early, on the running game, and particularly I like the idea of Pettway being just a power back. I don't think I heard this reported really, but I feel like I heard Gus say in a very offhand way during media days something to the effect of, we have moved Cameron Pettway to running back. Did you hear?
No, I don't think. I think he's still H back. I think he's playing some running back because they need him to. But
did you see A-Day?
Yes.
I think he might well be the second string running back right now. Because Kerryon kind of does his thing, and this new kid's going to do his thing. But who's your backup main tailback?
Kerryon.
No, I don't think so. I think it's Pettway. I think Pettway is our permanent second-string tailback right now.
I mean, if Javon went out for the season tomorrow, God forbid that we could have that discussion. But
Gus likes to mix up the running backs anyway during the game. I mean, he'll play three.
I know. And so I'm saying he'll get some carries, sure.
He's going to do well. I love the idea of like a 250-pound Ironhead Hayward back there bowling ball through. I feel like we need that.
I think you're right about that.
That would be nice. Well, let's roll that on into Media Days then. What did you think about Media Days aside from it's Dragon Con for Bammers?
There wasn't in terms of Auburn, there wasn't really any news other than that the players who were arrested for possession have already been punished and they won't miss any game time. Other than that, I didn't feel like I didn't really learn anything that I didn't already know. Did you feel like you learned anything about Auburn?
Well, other than the Cameron Pettway thing, which again, nobody, I think I heard Gus mention that, but other than that, I don't know. He keeps going back to his several few talking points, which are all things that I'm very happy to hear. It sounds like the coaching staff is all meshing, getting along real well. He said he's got the best senior leadership from this group he may have had in a long time. which is a good thing, no doubt about it. What about the rest of media days? I mean, we know that Nick Saban and his main acolyte, apostle, the Apostle Paul, almost had a fist fight, which is kind of funny. Bielema said something to the effect of, you notice how our team, we don't have any players to suspend for the first game every year. You know who Brett Bielema needs to be? A character in a Smokey and the Bandit movie. He needs to be like the Cannonball Run. He needs to be driving like an old Camaro or something in a cross-country race with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise.
Now, he could be like the evil trucker.
That would be great, yeah. Hey, this is the head hog here, y'all. He's hilarious.
It'd be good.
SEC Media Days, I continue to say somebody's going to make $1 million with our idea one day, which is to move that thing into a civic center and have panels and bring in the fans, charge the fans $20 to get in or whatever, autographs, everything. I'm telling you, it would be the biggest thing ever. We got a new out-of-conference opponent coming up.
Penn State, home and home. Very exciting.
It did move the Cal games further back, which I was not thrilled about.
Sure, but I'm excited to play Penn State. It's a big, non-conference opponent. Auburn has not played a Big Ten opponent the regular season maybe ever or since like the
ninth? I don't think ever.
Ever, I think. So that's huge.
It is huge, yeah. Yeah, I guess I'd rather play Penn State than Cal. I just was looking forward to going out to San Francisco and Berkeley and everything, and we're still going to do that. In fact, I may have said this before, but I figured out if you put aside $5 a week now, you'll have about $2,000 by the time we play at Cal, so you have money to spend out there. So
sure.
I think I'm going to do that.
Well, and I already Googled like how far it is from my house to Penn State, and it's not that far from Central Virginia to there. So we were already thinking about that.
We're going to have to meet up there, aren't we?
Yep.
That's a long trip for me, but dang, it's Penn State. I mean, how often are we going to do that?
There you go.
Which would you rather go to if it was the same distance, Cal or Penn State?
Oh, Cal, probably. I mean, Penn State's a bigger stadium, and it's a named team, but I mean, I'd rather see Berkeley in San Francisco. That'd be a better place to visit than Happy Valley. So,
every time my Apple TV goes into screensaver mode, I'm looking at San Francisco and going, man, that'd be a cool place to go. I can just sit there and look at it in HD on my TV, or I could actually go there and play Cal. So,
there you go.
Speaking of schedules, did you see the basketball non-conference schedule came out today?
This is great.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of games on there that are pretty cool. I wasn't just like salivating over it like some people. I mean, a lot of those are just no-name teams. But was it Purdue on there maybe? And then UConn?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Oklahoma, right?
Oklahoma, yeah. The big names were, I think, Purdue, UConn, and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then we play at, like, there's a TCU toward the end and yeah, there's a couple of others, but that's pretty cool. That's a pretty neat deal.
Mm-hmm.
If we can keep bringing these high-profile players and playing these high-profile games like that, the sky's the limit. And by the sky for Auburn basketball, I mean a good 3 to 4 year run in the NCAA tournament before, we're back to the square one again. But that would be nice. Auburn.
I have a lot of faith in Pearl, and I think this recruiting class is going to – it's going to make a big difference, and I think we're going to be in good shape. So,
yeah, Auburn basketball is kind of like I'm trying to think what sport, what team in football has like four good seasons every 25 years. That's kind of what we do. But we enjoy those four, and we cling to them for two decades until it comes back around again. Well, all right. Let's see. We got a couple of things we got to get to. Oh, the players. Yeah. What was the latest on the players that were arrested back in the spring?
Well, I mean, two things. One, Gus said at Media Days that they've already been punished from a team perspective, so they will not miss any game time, which is big because Carlton Davis, for example, is one of those players, and you were opening with Clemson, so that would have been bad if they missed game time. And then the second thing is they're – today they announced their court case has been continued to September 1st, so they're not going before the judge until then. So,
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't understand why people make this big deal out about, are they going to miss the first game or whatever? I mean, if something happened way back in like March, what does that have to do with September? If they've had their punishment, why do you got? I mean, you know, it's kind of like if you did some small misdemeanor crime, you went and spent like a week in jail, and then like, you know, 6 months later, the judge is like, oh, this is the part of your job where you enjoy your job at work every year, so we're going to put you back in jail for a week. What is that? I don't understand why they have to receive an additional punishment in September for something that they did and were punished for months ago. I just don't get it, I guess.
To me, the thing that matters to players is being in the games. You know, going to practice is, you know, the work part. This is the part that I think being on the field, playing in front of the fans, playing on TV, exposing themselves to scouts for NFL teams is what players value, I believe. And if you're taking that away from someone, then that's a real punishment. So, I mean, there are other ways you can punish people. You can say you got to, you know, do all this extra work or, you know, I mean, years ago we made – it was a Duke Williams. Just when they made him, like, go clean up the horse stables or whatever. So,
yeah,
I think there's that kind of thing you can do to help the campus and to discipline the players. But, you know, I mean, we can have this debate, but, you know, it's not like – I mean, and then we're going to – I'm not – all SEC fans live in glass houses. We should not throw stones. You have to be careful about that. But, I mean, it's not like they were arrested, you know, with possession of a stolen firearm or a DUI or anything either. So,
oh, yeah, I mean, if that happened, surely those players would be kicked off of their team for doing that.
Surely.
Wait a minute. No. Instead of us throwing rocks at glass houses, you got people like Skarbinski throwing rocks at glass houses. He's out there saying, you know, I just couldn't believe he's making this huge deal about Auburn players not getting suspended for the first game. I wanted to be at media days while he's talking about that and hold a sign over his head that says, meanwhile in Tuscaloosa, .. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well. Any other news or any other things we need to talk about in general before we get on to our two sort of features tonight?
Nope.
All right, we're going to talk about the SEC East, but first I have a brief segment here, and I'm just going to let it speak for itself. I have a little introduction, and then we'll roll on into it. So here we go. John, you may have heard of Welcome to Night Vale, an extremely popular podcast that basically consists of public service announcements from a very strange little town. It's sort of NPR meets the Addams Family. Well, we've learned there's another town nearby called SEC Vale, and I've gotten a hold of some of the public service announcements from their little radio station. So without further ado... Just because it's won dozens of national championships, both real and imagined, doesn't mean it's not a strange little town. Welcome to SEC Vale. The sheriff has informed us that roving bands of feral dogs have been spotted around town. They are lashing out angrily while making the grandest imaginable claims about their upcoming season. These wild dogs have been spotted spray-painting graffiti on walls of local businesses. In one case, they spray-painted the words, "No, no, we meant this year," alongside a likeness of Mark Richt. A happy note here to let everyone know that the strangers spotted milling about town, eating corn dogs and drinking hard liquor at 7 a.m. on game days have turned out to be only a group of harmless LSU fans. Nothing to see here after all. Go about your business. Look away. For God's sake, look away. Please exercise caution when driving past our local Walmart between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m., as this is when the honors graduates of the University of Alabama will be getting off from their late shift and returning to their hollow, meaningless lives. Try not to approach them on foot or engage them in any way, as evidence now reveals that prolonged exposure to these people can result in your soul being sucked directly out of your body, rendering you only a semi-animated husk, shambling about alongside them. Also note that should your car collide with one of theirs as they drive out of the parking lot, they are likely to proclaim it their 978th national championship. We have received an update from the sheriff's office that the roving band of feral dogs returned later this evening to the scene of their previous vandalism and sprayed a red X through the portrait of Mark Richt, and then painted another portrait next to it, this one in the likeness of someone we are told is Kirby Smart. More details on this as they become available. And now we close tonight's broadcast with the Pledge of Allegiance to our great overlords and masters, the past and present commissioners of the SEC. His Dark Majesty Roy Kramer, who begat the great lord of all, Mike Slive. And now we pay our obeisance to the new master of the dark arts, Lord Sankey. May their benign majesties watch over us all and protect us from the unholy legions of the Big Ten and the ACC. Remember, if you should encounter one of these other conferences' fans in our community, direct them immediately to the nearest AL.com message board while chanting over and over to yourself the holy words of protection and banishment of evil, SEC, 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 SEC. This has been Welcome to SEC Vale. Well, there you go. Thoughts?
That was entertaining. That was fun.
Have you ever heard Welcome to Night Vale?
No, I have not.
All right. Those that have no idea what that was, go and check out the podcast, Welcome to Night Vale. My good friend and Illinois University U of I grad, Andrew Wheeler, one of my colleagues at the college, he was telling me about that show, and I checked it out. It's really, really funny. They do a much better job, obviously, than me, but they know what they're doing. And it's been a big deal. They got a book out, and it's a bestseller right now, and they're on a world tour doing this crazy business in front of audiences. But they do just stuff like that. Their shows are about 20 minutes long, and they just have whatever weird things are going on in this town. It's pretty funny. So I just had to do a – in fact, Maddie and I were driving back from St. Louis, and I thought, you know, I could – we were listening to this, and I thought, you know, I could – to the real one. And I thought, I could just totally turn this into SEC Vale. So hopefully our audience hadn't all tuned out by now. Because it's time, John. Actually, before we get into that, you know, in addition to the books you and I have done about Auburn football, I've got quite a few other books out there. Nearly a dozen of them are now on audible.com as audiobooks. And you can get a free audiobook download of one of those books or anything else they have. Anything else they have, John? And a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AUWishbone. That's www.audibletrial.com/AUWishbone. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, your MP3 player. Whatever you play audiobooks on, they've got it. And that includes, this is kind of cool, I wanted to mention this real quick, that includes Roger Zelazny's Chronicles of Amber books, which you know very well are my favorite books ever. And did you hear the big news yesterday, John?
I saw your tweet that they're doing a TV show.
They're doing a TV show! So, you know, if you want to read the books on audio, listen to the books that this new TV show is going to be based on, which are fantastic, my favorite books ever, go check it out, right? Just audibletrial.com/AUWishbone. You get a free audiobook now, and you get like a 30-day free trial. That's a pretty good deal, huh? So, and also we want to point out that we are continuing to be sponsored by Ken Ringer and Lorendo, the great book about the Auburn assistant offensive coordinator and his amazing life. This book has been just continuing to dominate the sales charts. It's tearing it up. People love it. And it's pretty awesome, huh?
It's pretty awesome. And they're getting ready to go to his hometown area of Minnesota and actually do a book signing coming up soon.
That is so cool. That's the coolest thing. They're actually going to go up to his home area of Minnesota and do it. That should be fantastic. I hope we can get some reports back from him on how that goes. Maybe he'll take some pictures and stuff that we can put up on the website and all on the Facebook page or something. That would be great. You ready to get into the East?
I am.
Let's do it. So we always go alphabetically and just talk about the teams and then talk about what the record's going to be thanks to the barbecue. So let's see. We've got our cues ready. So first up is the Florida Gators. John, what are you thinking about Florida this year?
Oh, hold on.
I forgot how we do it. Do we give the number first and then talk about it?
Thought we ate first.
We eat. Let's eat. Let's have the barbecue. Let's go to the barbecue. Okay. Well, tastes like a rebuilding barbecue.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we talked about it and then we rendered verdict at the end. I can't remember.
That's all right. Who cares?
It's been a year. All right.
Tastes like a rebuilding barbecue to me. What about you?
It tastes like solid. You know, there's some meat there, but it's not elite. You know, it's not leaping out at me.
No. Is it going to be a little tougher, a little chewier, a little stringier than last year? Last year?
Yeah, I agree. They couldn't, you know, it was one of those, like, you looked at the meat last year and you didn't think it was going to be that good, but it turned out better than you thought.
Better than we thought, yeah.
And this year, I don't think it's the same.
Well, for one thing, they've got to beat Tennessee again, and if they do, that'll be 12. I was pointing out that Florida has beaten Tennessee every year. This is amazing. The last time Tennessee beat Florida was the last time Tennessee went to the SEC championship game where they lost to Ronnie Brown and Cadillac and Jason Campbell. That's a long time ago.
That's right.
I mean, that's not just how long it's been since they've been to Atlanta. That's how long since they beat Florida. And, John, they play them every year.
Yep.
So, you know, looking at their schedule, I mean, they got some easy wins in there. I mean, they play UMass. They play Presbyterian. They play North Texas. They beat Kentucky, you know.
And, I mean, let's talk about the East as a whole for a minute. I think the East overall isn't that good.
Right.
I mean, I think you have your kind of top tier, you know, of like three teams. But I think the four teams at the bottom are going to be bad.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Florida plays one tough non-conference game. They play at Florida State.
Right.
But other than that, they have three cupcakes. And then the bottom teams in the East. And one of the things I want to talk about is that really points this out is when you look at strength of schedule, the East team's strength of schedule compared to the West teams is really down. And part of this is because the conference itself is not that good. For example, Florida plays the 103rd toughest schedule in the country.
Good grief. That's ridiculous.
That includes playing Florida State and LSU.
And they draw Arkansas this year.
Yeah.
They're at Arkansas. That could be an interesting game.
So, but they don't have a quarterback. I mean, they're starting. Well, they're playing walk on Luke Del Rio. He looks like the guy.
Yeah.
You know, they got six starters back on both sides of the ball. They have a few offensive linemen back, but not a ton. But again, I think the defense is going to be solid, like it was last year, pretty good. If the quarterback play is okay, I mean, I really like McElwain. I think he's a good coach. I could see them winning the East. I really could.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're – I mean, they're clearly not the favorite, but it wouldn't shock me if they beat Tennessee again and win the East.
Well, they've got, you know, their usual key games, but it's not very many, at least in terms of the conference. They play at Tennessee first. That's going to be really the key game for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they've got – LSU at home a couple of weeks later, and then they got Georgia in the cocktail party. And I mean, you know, and then they go to Arkansas. It would be funny if they win enough, you know, out of that stretch that they're sitting pretty, and then they go and let down against Arkansas. But it could happen.
Well, but to me, it's like, you know, they got LSU in Arkansas. Tennessee's got Alabama at home and at Texas A&M, they could both lose both of their games against the West teams and then it comes down to their head-to-head still. So
yeah, it really is interesting. So let's put a number on it. Let's say I hadn't written it down, so I'm just going to
Last year they won 7 SEC games and 10 games overall.
Yeah, they went 10-2 in the regular season. So, I mean, I think they're going to lose to Tennessee finally. I know that that sounds more like something that you would say, and I would say, John, just show me before I'll believe it. But I honestly do think that they finally are going to lose to Tennessee. If Tennessee can't beat them this year, Tennessee should give up football and just become a croquet school.
Yeah, I'm going to say, because their schedule is so easy, I'm going to say 9-3.
Yeah.
I think they lose to Florida State, they lose to Tennessee, and they lose one of the West games.
Only one?
Yeah, they'll lose one. I mean, they could 8-4, 9-3. That's kind of where I am with Florida.
They beat Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to say 9-3.
All right.
There it is. All right, Georgia, the Bull Puppies. Let's go to
the barbecue.
The pages are stuck together. I can't reach my barbecue. All right, hold on. I'm getting my barbecue. I'm getting a nice serving, quote unquote, of my barbecue. Welcome. Taste of artificial seasonings. Well, let's say the Feral Dogs from Athens, they open up at Dragon Con.
Yes, they do, against North Carolina.
Oh, that's going to be fun. It's going to be me in my Auburn Iron Man shirt and all the Georgia fans. Oh boy, I can't wait. Wasn't North Carolina just in a game in the opening weekend recently? Didn't they play like Tennessee or something?
Seems like it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they must have a nice backdoor deal. Okay. So Georgia, they open up with North Carolina. They'll beat North Carolina. You got to think that Kirby Smart is smart enough to just give the ball to those two backs and wear down North Carolina.
I don't know.
Even with Gene Chizik leading the way.
North Carolina's defense, I mean, Chizik is what he is. But North Carolina, has a good offense, scores a lot of points. And Georgia, we're not sure about what they got at quarterback. They have a true freshman coming in, Eason, who everybody wants to, is a five-star. Everybody thinks he's going to be the great thing. But, even as a freshman, even if he's great, he's a true freshman. First game against a really good team. I think you're right. I think they're going to hand the ball to the running backs 40 times, whoever is the quarterback, and try and win with defense or running game, at least in the first half of the season.
Right. Why wouldn't you? You got those two backs, man. If they're back ready to go, I mean.
Well, and they have the most offensive line experience returning in the East, too. So.
Ah, yeah. You got Chubb and you got Curtis Mathis back there. So.
Sony Michel.
Curtis Mathis. So, let's see. Yeah, they've got a 4-game schedule. They play Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn. I think they're going to win. Let's just say they lose 3 of those, and they're 9-3 again, just like Florida. So it comes down to who wins the cocktail party.
I mean, again, you're writing off, North Carolina and Georgia Tech and everybody else in the East.
Yep. I am doing that.
I think that they have talent, but,
Do they drop another game? Like they drop a North Carolina or a Missouri?
Yeah, I think they're going to have a road game. What's their road schedule like? I know they play at Ole Miss.
Okay, at Missouri, and then the very next week at Ole Miss. Then they get Tennessee at home. Then they're at South Carolina. They got Vandy at home, Florida in the cocktail party, and they go to Kentucky. That's their – everything else is at home.
See, I'm saying like one of those games they shouldn't lose, like South Carolina or Kentucky. Yeah. They're going to go up there and have like terrible quarterback play and blow it.
8-4?
It's going to happen. I think 8-4.
8-4. Wow. All right. Okay.
And again, new coach, completely new coaching staff. They have a good running back, but, they got one returning guy in the front seven on defense. One.
So who's going to be the opening quarterback? Is it going to be
Grayson Lambert?
You lied to me. Release the hounds.
can barely even remember why that's a thing for Grayson Lambert.
He'll be here any minute.
I told you he sucked, and I was not lying. He sucks. Grayson Lambert doesn't scare me, and he should not scare you.
It's Lambert. That's right. That was it. Well, so who's going to be the starting quarterback, Eason or Lambert?
I think it's going to be Lambert in the first game just because they're opening with North Carolina. But then I think they got a couple of cupcakes. And if Lambert, you know, plays like we expect him to, which is poorly, then it'll be the freshman starting by the time they play the next good team.
If they go 8-4, you're going to hear those Georgia announcers again saying,
"Oh, my God!"
How about if they go 8-4 and Miami does better than that?
Oh, my God!
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. You know what? Let's save that one. I've got a factoid, but I'm thinking I might should save it for next week. But let me do another one real quick. Let's see.
Factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
We're just kind of all over the map tonight. That's okay. My factoid of the week is actually a trivia question for you, John. We know that Sean White passed for one touchdown last season, but do you know what game it was? Who was the opponent?
Arkansas?
Oh, if only. We'd have won the game.
I can't remember.
It was Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
The only team he scored a touchdown on was Ole Miss. How bizarre is that? It just was weird.
That is weird.
And then it carried through to A-Day, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. I tell you, I know we love Sean White. We want him to do well. But if Sean White was the only option we had at quarterback, I would heavily think about
smoke weed every day.
Got to tell you, to be honest. Just to be honest with you here.
I have a lot of confidence in Sean White, actually.
I know. But we'll see. Anything else about Georgia? We say 8-4.
Yeah, I mean, again, completely new coaching staff. We did like they hired the offensive coordinator who had been at Arkansas a couple of years ago and then had gone to Pitt. That guy, we like his running game and his offensive coordinator job he does. And they hired Mel Tucker away from Alabama. He's the defensive coordinator. But they lost a lot of guys on defense to the draft. And, you know, while they got the running backs, they got the offensive lineback. I think uncertainty of quarterback and the lack of experienced talent on defense is going to hold them back.
Yeah. I love that the magazine I got. And by the way, you're talking about how all those magazines came out. You know, you don't live up here. We had three choices over the entire summer that I've gone to Barnes & Noble or the grocery stores in the entire metro St. Louis area. I've had three choices. I've had Phil Steele, and I've always said I'm not buying Phil Steele because – I don't want to pay like $10 to know that Auburn won a game on turf in the rain in 1972. I don't need to know that. I already knew it. The other choice was the Big Ten from like Athlon with Notre Dame or something on the cover, who's not even in the dang Big Ten. And then Sporting News. So I have the Sporting News magazine. And I love that Sporting News was telling me about Georgia, that their most reliable returning receiver is Terry Godwin. And it's interesting that Georgia's returning reliable receiver is Terry Godwin, because until very recently, AL.com kept sending me an email telling me that Auburn may yet get Terry Godwin.
Could still happen.
Ah! All right. Kentucky. The Kentucky Mildcats.
Kentucky.
Sucky Kentucky, sucky Kentucky. Are you ready to go to the barbecue?
I am.
Let's do it. That still sucks. Not that great. You tasting anything special there?
Mm-hmm.
Goes down easy.
No. A little stringy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of flavor.
Mm-mm.
Nope. I think it's pretty weak.
Yeah. I had to stoop down to pick mine up. I went to my resident Kentucky expert. Good friend of mine. It's also on the fact. I've got a good friend that's a Illinois grad, and I got a good friend that's a Kentucky grad. And the Kentucky grad told me that they are not optimistic, basically, that they know they're getting, you know, better talent than they've been getting for several years, but it just doesn't seem to be translating into wins, and he's just not happy about it. So,
Here's the good news for Kentucky, okay? Do you want the good news?
Eddie Graham, right?
Right. Well, they got Eddie Graham, okay? But here's the other good news, okay? They play Southern Miss, New Mexico State, and Austin Peay, and they also play Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Missouri.
It's true.
All right. So
it's a good cure for what ails you.
I'm just going to say, like, if everything goes right and they play Mississippi State at home.
Yeah.
You know, without Dak, I think that's a very fair game. So, you know, if everything breaks their way, this is a bowl team.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, compared to Missouri, South Carolina, you know.
I think it comes down to for them being a winning team or whatever, it comes down to Louisville. And I think Louisville's going to beat them again because I see them going into the Louisville game 6-5 at best. So they could be 7-5 or they could be 6-6 or they could be worse than that if things don't break their way. But
yeah, no, I mean, they got the, you know, the other quarterback Tolles that was there transferred and they're starting this guy Barker. They got a lot of talent back on offense. They got Stanley Boone Williams, another running back, but they don't have anybody on defense that scares you. So
right. They
got four offensive linemen back. And this, as we said, the schedule's not too tough. And I like Eddie Graham. I think he'll do a good job there.
Let's explain to the folks out there that don't know, because some will and some won't. Who is Eddie Graham?
Eddie Graham is the new Kentucky offensive coordinator who was at Cincinnati with Tuberville and was the running back coach at Auburn for years under Tuberville and coached, you know, Carnell Williams and Ronnie Brown.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like him a lot. He seemed like a pretty darn good coach back then. So what do you see as your number then for Kentucky?
They won two SEC games last year.
Let's just say – under the Stoops era, they've gone 2-10, 2-10, 5-7, 5-7. Last year, they started 5-1 and finished 0-6. Oh God, that's got to crush your soul.
I'm gonna say 5-7.
Well, they're gonna lose to Florida because that's the law. They're gonna lose to Alabama. They'll beat South Carolina. They could lose to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
They could lose Mississippi State, so I'm going to give them and they could lose to Missouri, though they probably won't. I'm going to give them one loss out of those three. They'll lose to Georgia and Tennessee. All right, so they're going to go into, like I said, they're going to go into the Louisville game 6-5. Louisville beats them, and I think they're going to be 6-6. But, hey, that's a bowl team. They can come down to Birmingham, play Memphis.
There you go.
All right. 6-6. Maybe 7-5, maybe 6-6.
6-6, they build a statue of you there.
Oh. Heck yeah. All right. Enough about Kentucky. That's all.
Never true words, never spoken.
Let's look over in the far west, paradoxically enough, for the Missouri Tigers. Let's go ahead. Now, you can get some good barbecue in Missouri because I lived, you know, right across the river from there. You can run over and there's Bogart's and couple of other places where you can get some pretty dadgum decent barbecue, but I'm going to go with these Pringles barbecue chips. So let's go to the barbecue! It's just not as good as it used to be. It's kind of getting stale.
Mm-hmm. And this place used to be good. It's kind of gone downhill.
It's gone downhill. They got rid of the screen door. They got rid of
the chef changed. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the chef did change. Sure, he sure did. He changed. I don't know what to make of Missouri. They really dropped off last year down to 5-7. It was mostly the offense, wasn't it?
Offense was terrible, and they didn't have a lot of difference makers, and I still don't think they do, and they changed coaches. They hired Barry Odom, who's their defensive coordinator. And they lost their really good defensive line coach. Remember, they've had several years of having excellent defensive linemen. He went to Miami with Richt, where they're going to win more games in Georgia. And, Missouri.
Oh my God!
They brought in some good coaches, but you know, I think they got a long way to go. I mean, they got no experience in the offensive line. You know, they played a freshman last year at quarterback, and he's back, but he doesn't necessarily scare you. No. I mean, I think with their offense would be a little bit better just because they're going to do some different stuff, but I don't think they have a lot of players there that scare you. I think they'll be solid on defense. They got 8 starters back. They got good defensive coaching. But, again, they're in the East, so they got to play Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. They play at West Virginia non-conference, and they play at LSU and Arkansas at home in the West. So I look at that and go, you know, kind of 7-5, 6-6.
Yeah, that's
5-7. That's where I am with them.
I'm doing the math. Yeah, 7-5 if everything goes well. 6-6, 7-5. We're going to have to pick something. So
I'm going to be pessimistic. I'm going to say 6-6.
Yeah, 6-6. Let's go with 6-6. I mean, but you know that would mark a move up from last year, and it gets them in a bowl too.
Yeah, I could see that.
So. Yeah, they got to go to Tennessee. They got Arkansas at home, though. That'll be big. If they can beat Arkansas in Missouri, which I don't think they can, but if they can, that would be huge because that would get them to a bowl game probably. So it'll that last week of the season against Arkansas. That's not that far for me. One of these days I'm going to have to just take a weekend when Auburn's like off or not playing anybody important and just drive over to Columbia and, like, walk up and, you know, give me a free ticket probably because it's Missouri. Go in and watch them play somebody. That might be fun. I've never been in that stadium either way. Didn't we decide we're getting ready to play them in a year or two?
We hope.
Yeah, I hope so. Man, I wish you could come to that. That would be awesome because I'm definitely going to be there. In fact, there's a whole bunch of AU Wishbone people that are planning on meeting me there, and we're going to have barbecue. Maybe we'll predict games while we're eating the barbecue. Yeah, moving on then. We still got one more big team to go, but now we got to go see what Muschamp is up to at Kakalaki with Yellow Sauce University. And so I'm going to get out my next serving. And anything else about Missouri?
No.
Thank goodness. All right, let us go to the South Carolina Poultry and Yellow Sauce Barbecue. It's tasted better.
Mm. Yep. Again, another place that used to be good kind of gone way downhill.
It's like it was yelling and screaming at me while I was eating it. It tried to bust the fork over my head with its fist.
You get passed out. Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
Muschamp said he passed out at halftime last year in a game. He was so upset. I really think I heard that.
I don't doubt it. I just think it's absurd.
Well, this is a team that a few years ago had a ton of star players and talent on it, and now they don't.
They don't.
And it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you know, Spurrier, you know, really caught fire for a while and got lucky with some in-state players staying and a few other out-of-state guys that they got, and he did a good job, but they didn't kill themselves recruiting, and it shows. I don't think they have a lot of difference makers. I mean, the one guy they had the last few years was Pharaoh Cooper, and he's gone.
Yeah.
So offensively, they got nothing that scares you. And defensively, they're okay, but they're, you know, I don't think there's a lot of guys on that team that would, you know, start for a lot of teams in the West. So,
Steve Spurrier's not walking through that door. Pharaoh Cooper's not walking through that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
No, but Kurt Roper's walking through that door, so Muschamp went straight back to putting the Florida coaching staff back together.
Straight back. How do you do that? How do you field the, like, the most atrocious offense in the SEC relative to the level of talent your program should have, and then go back and hire that guy again? How do you do that?
I think he figured out – I mean, Roper is a good coach, and I think he figured out that Roper was – he had – Muschamp blew his early offensive coordinator coaches. That's why he lost his job. If he had hired Roper at the beginning, he'd probably still be there. So I think Roper's not terrible, but, again, they just don't have the players at quarterback, running back, or receiver to make a big difference. So, I mean, their schedule is pretty tough too. I mean, again, because they play all the tough teams in the East, and they play at Clemson.
Right.
They play at Mississippi State, and they play A&M at home.
Yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. Well, before we dissect it a little bit, I got two things to say. One is, what's amazing to me looking at them here, they went 11-2 3 years in a row. 11-2, John, 3 years in a row, and they did not get to Atlanta any one of those 3 years. Mm-hmm. How is that even possible?
They did get to Atlanta. Auburn crushed them.
That wasn't one of those years. They weren't 11-2 that year. They were like 9-something or 10-something. That was 2010. In 11, 12, and 13, every one of those years, they went 11-2. And every one of those years, somebody else went to Atlanta. I mean, that's hard to do.
That is hard to do.
It's amazing. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah, they only went to Atlanta one time, and that was the year before that streak. Here's the other thing. Their schedule sets up as kind of the opposite of ours. You know how we have all the big early home games, and then we go away? Get this. They do not play a home SEC game until October.
Wow.
They have Texas A&M and Georgia in October, and then Tennessee later in October, with UMass wedged in there. But they go at Vanderbilt, at Mississippi State. They have East Carolina at home. They go at Kentucky. So they don't come home to play an SEC team until October 1st against the Aggies. It's like the exact opposite of our schedule.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So... they could drop one of those first two at Vanderbilt, at Mississippi State. They could easily drop one of those.
Sure.
I'm going to give them a loss there. They could lose to Kentucky. I don't know. They're going to lose to A&M. That's three. They're going to lose to Georgia. That's four. They're going to lose to Tennessee. That's five. Missouri's a toss up. They're going to lose to Florida. That's what? Six,
mm-hmm.
seven. I'm going to say 4-8.
I think 4-8's fine.
Man, are they, you know what? That's a step up from last year.
It is. But again, this is not a very talented team. They have new coaches, but they have the toughest schedule in the East.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, one of the weakest rosters, if not the weakest. So they got a long way to go.
They do, man. All right. Now I got to roll all the way back. So we got 4-8 for Khaki Lackey, Yellow Sauce U. Time to talk about Tennessee, John.
It's that time.
I'm ready to eat some Rocky Top Old Smoky Barbecue. So let me hit this here barbecue eating button. It's gotten a little better. It's gotten a little better every year. It gets better with age. They always have a weird schedule, though.
Strong smoky flavor.
Mm-hmm. Like the Smokies. Tastes like Dollywood. Tastes like Gatlinburg. Sweaty out-of-towners.
It's delicious, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing. Let's put it this way. You know, they've won two more games every year under Jones. They've gone 5-7. They won five games, they won seven games, they won nine games, okay? 5, 7, 9. They're definitely trending in the right direction in a hurry. Now, does that mean they win 11 games this year?
That's what a lot of people think.
Hmm.
They won nine games last year, and they blew big leads in a couple other games, Oklahoma and a couple other games where they had a big lead and they blew it.
Should have beaten Oklahoma. Could have beaten Alabama. Let's see. There was one.
There was one other. Was it Florida?
Yeah.
Somebody else they were beating and blew it.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have beat Florida. That was 1 point. So that's three. They could have won 12 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah, you know, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I haven't heard anybody else say this. Everybody talks about how hard Auburn's schedule is, and I don't disagree. Auburn has a tough schedule, but I'll say this. I'm kind of glad we don't draw Tennessee this year.
Oh, yeah. No, again, this is by far, on paper, the best team in the East by far.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, they got a lot of experience. They got a ton of talent. They're great on both lines. They have an experienced quarterback. They got two very good running backs. You know, I think the team has a lot of very talented players who are also experienced, who kind of been through the wars. So there's a little bit of kind of like a 2004 Auburn kind of thing with them, where they have that kind of team that's got a lot of depth and experience, has played a lot of SEC football, and could go out and just play at a high level every week and do good things. I mean, you know, they play the second week, they play Virginia Tech in Bristol. That's in the NASCAR stadium.
How strange is that going to be? 150,000 people they're hoping for.
They've sold it. It's sold out. I mean, they got that many tickets sold. It's going to be insane there.
Wow.
And so that's going to be really exciting and fun to watch. So they play Bama at home, you know, but they still got Florida and Georgia. But the bottom teams in the East don't scare me. And I think this is the year they break through against Florida and Georgia. I think they're just better than so.
They do always have a weird schedule. It's always front loaded or front to middle loaded. Their ending's always easy. Their last five games, okay, their last five are South Carolina, Tennessee Tech, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
That's right.
How many ever losses they have after October 15th, that's how many losses they're going to have.
I think the big, to me, the two games that are going to define their season are Florida and at Texas A&M.
Okay, explain.
I mean, because to me, those are both kind of toss-up kind of games where I think Tennessee's better on paper, but you know, it's a huge game on the road against a West team, and then Florida's kind of owned them. Mm. And where's that game this year? Florida-Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Right. So they got it at home. Florida's owned them. They got a breakthrough mentally in that game. But if they win both of those games, to me, the only game that looks like a, you know, that you would say maybe they lose is Alabama. So then you're talking about 11-1.
You know, this is not the first time they've been trying to break a Florida hex. Remember back in the 90s?
Sure.
Fulmer against Spurrier. Mm-hmm. The year they went undefeated and won the national championship in 98, they still had to kick a last-second field goal to beat Florida in Knoxville.
That's right.
I remember it well. When Florida would win, it'd be, you know, it's like Spurrier always said, Spurrier's always like, when we win, it's always like a blowout. When the other team wins, it's like they kick a last-second field goal to beat us. And he's right. He was absolutely right. That's how it always went with us and with Tennessee. Georgia just didn't beat them at all. Georgia didn't beat Florida at all.
Nope.
Tennessee or Auburn did it with a last-second field goal. They start out with Appalachian State, Virginia Tech, Ohio. So there's a four-game stretch that is their entire season. Florida at Georgia, at A&M, and Alabama. That is their entire season right there, assuming that everything goes well in the Bristol Bowl against Virginia Tech, right? That is their entire season, is those four games. That's pretty mind-blowing. They're going to – get this. On September 23rd, they're not going to have any idea what their season's going to be like. And just 4 weeks later, they're going to have as many losses as they're going to have the whole season.
I think you're right.
It's so weird. Tennessee's always got a weird schedule. So how many do you see out of those four? How many of those do they lose? Florida, what? Georgia, A&M, Alabama.
One.
You know what I'm going to say, John?
What?
They're going to beat Alabama.
I like it.
I think Alabama's going to beat Ole Miss this year but lose to Tennessee.
I like it. I think it's very possible. Tennessee come close a couple years.
Yeah.
And this year's Tennessee team is excellent. So I think it's a good game. And it's at home. It's in Knoxville. So I could see it.
I think they're going to beat Florida. I think they're going to beat A&M. Georgia, though, that's one of those games that even though they're better than Georgia, you could turn around and be 38-3 Georgia just like it's as easy as anything, you know?
Or you could have an undefeated Tennessee turn around and lose in the SEC title game with a playoff spot on the line.
To Alabama with one loss. They both have one loss.
Mm-hmm. And then Alabama goes and not them?
Hopefully two, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Sure.
That would be interesting. I'm going to say for the year, I just can't do it. I'm going to say 10-2. I can't give them 11 or 12 wins.
I'm going to say 11-1.
11-1? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. They've just shown too much propensity for blowing games. But yeah, this is a team that was young together, and now 2 or 3 years later, they've kind of gotten it all together, haven't they?
And I think that blowing games thing, you know, it scarred them, but it also gives them something to work for. It gives them some off-season fire, and it's going to give them – they've been in big games where they were ahead. They're not going to let up. They know what they need to do. And I think they've got the running backs. They're just going to pound it in those situations to play defense, and it's going to be okay.
Isn't one of their running backs a former Alabama running back?
Yeah, Alvin Kamara.
They got so many running backs, they just license them out to other schools. It's crazy.
It'd be great if he had a big game against him, I'm just saying.
Oh, gosh. That would be, he went for like $250. He's not, but, you know, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Slap Nick Saban as he ran by on an 80-yard run. Just slap him right in the face as he went by. That'd be so nice. I'm just imagining. Okay. Well, I get anything else about Tennessee? I mean, I think this is the class of the East, and they're going to be in Atlanta, and it's going to be really it's going to be quite a challenge for Gus and Auburn to get up for that to win that game.
Please clap.
And I say you.
Huge.
All right. Well, we bring it. It's kind of an anticlimax every year, but we got to end with Vanderbilt. I laugh, but hey, they got a 2-game winning streak on us, so I can't really laugh that hard, huh? I'm kind of laughing like Bugs Bunny does his laugh, where he's like, ha, 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 ha. You know. The mighty Vanderbilt Commodores. Derek Mason is in. James Franklin ain't walking through. I'm not going to do it again, but James Franklin ain't walking through that door. What do you think about Vanderbilt in the year three of the Mason era?
Are you sitting there?
Oh, wait. No, hold on. Gosh. Oops. Out of all that, I hit the wrong button here. Derek Mason era, what do you got?
I think they're going to be not bad.
Really? They're going to have some offense? I mean, they're really a glorified Missouri.
And I think this year they will be kind of the good Missouri. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Missouri will be the bad Missouri.
All right.
Vandy.
Yeah.
I think schedules, you know, West teams are Ole Miss and at Auburn. So, I don't, you know, that's not good. They play at Georgia Tech in non-conference, which is kind of weird.
I just want to have a little prayer meeting. Lord, please don't let us lose to Vanderbilt 3 in a row.
Amen.
Of all years that we need to beat Vanderbilt, this is definitely there, not only because of the streak, but also because with everything else going on with us this year, we do not need to lose to Vanderbilt. Amen.
And that's why I don't want to say this, but I think Vanderbilt's going to be not bad.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that game. I hope we don't take it for granted.
They got a lot of starters coming back on both sides of the ball. Their defense was excellent last year. Yeah. Let me let you in a little secret here, okay? You ready?
Yeah. Hit me.
All right. Which team? I'm going to think about it this way. Which of these teams was best in total defense last year? Okay.
Oh, goody.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Arkansas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt.
You want to say Ole Miss, but what is it?
The answer is Vanderbilt.
Wow.
They were the best in total defense last year. So they play good defense. Their offense isn't great, but I think it's getting a little bit better. And, you know, I think schedule isn't terrible. It's got some potential there. You have Georgia Tech's terrible again. Maybe they go in there and get a win. I think they could beat up the other bad teams in the East. You know, your South Carolinas, Missouris, Kentuckys maybe. And the best case scenario for them is like, you know, 7-5, finished like fourth in the East.
Wow, that's not what I have them doing, but
But I'm saying that's best case scenario. I think
it's possible. It is possible if everything breaks their way. Yes, that's true. They've got to have some offense, though.
Yes, and that's a that's a whole nother game. Yeah. You know, I mean, they were really bad on offense last year. Still way better than Missouri, but really bad.
It looks like their entire offensive starting lineup are almost all juniors,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a good thing, really.
It is. So they got a lot of guys coming back that have played, who have some experience. So, you know, and they got a new offensive line coach. Maybe he can do something with them. They have some offensive line experience returning. Again, I think they're going to be not terrible. They're not going to jump up and challenge the, you know, Tennessee, Florida for the SEC East title, but I think they're not going to finish last. That's my prediction.
Out of the 22 starters on offense and defense, guess how many of them total are juniors? Out of 22?
15?
14. That's a lot of juniors. That means there's like 8 everything else.
That's weird. But again, it shows that it's an experienced team.
Well, let's see. They're going to lose to Georgia Tech. Or are they? They're at Tech, at Grant Field, at North Carolina.
I mean, probably a loss, but they could win that game.
Okay.
And their defense could go in there and shut down Tech, and they could steal it.
They're going to lose to Florida.
Yes.
They only lost to Florida 7-9 last year. Remember that game?
That was so ugly.
God. Florida needs to be slapped. They're going to lose to Georgia.
Maybe.
They're going to lose to us.
Yes.
They're going to lose to Ole Miss.
Yes.
They're going to lose to Tennessee. What's that? That's 6 I just named?
I think it's 5 or 6, yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to throw them in one more loss. They're going 5-7. But, hey, that's an improvement. They've gone from 3 wins to 4 wins to 5 wins, as I have it.
I must say 6-6.
So we've got at least 3 of the 7 SEC East teams finishing 6-6.
Yes.
Wow. There it is.
When again, I think there's like Tennessee on one tier, like Georgia and Florida on the next tier, and then the other teams.
Everybody,
Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt in the bottom tier.
Yep. There it is, everybody. There is your SEC East barbecue preview for this year. I guess we will be back in about a week or so whenever John and I can get our schedules together to do the Mighty West. That's going to be a treat. I have another whole new introduction lined up for that. So, and I'll have actual barbecue, I promise. I will have real barbecue when we do that one. Are we going to both be available next week, you think?
Let's talk about it off air.
We'll do it. Okay, anything else before we wrap up for tonight?
No, it's fun to talk about football again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about James Bond and Game of Thrones a lot, but now it's time to strap it back up and get out on the field again. I'm glad. I'm excited. All right. Well, I guess at that point our time is up, and we'll thank you for yours. And, John, all that leaves me to say this week is War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.